Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for favor that lasts a lifetime. And we thank you for blessing us over and over and over again. And Lord, I just pray that you pour your blessings out once again this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. July 6th, this next Sunday night, we will not have church here. We will go to Salem and have church at the ball field. We're going to play a game of softball. We're going to start at 5 o'clock, and we're going to eat there. They're going to take care of the meal this time. We're going to take care of the meal on the 31st. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great time of fellowship. Even if you say, well, I can't play softball, that's fine. You can come in fellowship and cheer us on, right? If you want us a shirt, we posted those on the Facebook page, and I failed to get that in the slides today. I'm sorry, but if you want a shirt, see I or Chelsea after service. We need your shirt size. We're going to order those tomorrow morning. So if you want a shirt so you can cheer us on, or if you're playing, we need your shirt size today. So July 13th, we're going to have a baptism service. So if you're interested in being baptized, see Chelsea today so she can get you on the list. July 18th, there's a lot of stuff happening in July. July 18th, we're going to, the two that are going to be going to National Fine Arts are going to be selling barbecue plates here at the church. If you're interested, we're going to do pre-orders on those. So if you're interested, see Charity. That's a Friday. You can come and eat here. They're going to have the gym ready for you to eat it here. Or you can come and get a plate to go. And if you say, well, I can't come at the time they're going to be here, that's fine. Go ahead and order it, and we'll have it ready for you when you can come pick it up on Friday. But you have to pick it up on Friday, okay? You can't pick it up on Tuesday after. And it can be delivered in town, not in Viola, not in... Preacher O. Yep. I'm not 100% positive. I will know tonight. Okay. I don't know anything about what ball field, okay? I'll just be real honest. I don't have any idea. But we'll know tonight, okay? I actually thought about that about midnight last night, and I'm like, I'm not texting Josh now. All right, I got a short video. I'm going to show you a clip of that video, and then we're going to talk about it. Jamie, if you can get that going.
Hey, guys, we've been talking about the building. We've been talking about some of the projects that we want to get done, and we figured this would be the easiest and best way for us to kind of demonstrate that. So this is when you first come in the door right here. And we've talked about the bathrooms and how we want to put a wall, and basically that wall would start right here, and it would run right down this area and then turn just to the left of the women's bathroom door. And that would block this, that would wall this in so that we could use the showers, because we have showers in the bathroom that we built this for when power outage or anything like that, that people could use these showers. And by building this wall, we'll actually be able to do that. One of the things that we're going to do with this is we're building the wall strong enough and the roof strong enough that we can store things like our inflatables on that area so that they're out of the way, so that there's a place that's dedicated to them, that there will be plenty of strength, that the wall won't fall or the ceiling won't fall when we put those things up there. As we move around the
okay, guys. Way. We're going to show the rest of that video later on, probably next week, but I just wanted to kind of give you a thing. The reason that people have asked about coming down there and doing a tour and all those things. The reason that it's just not safe for me to give you a tour right now, okay? We have so much stuff in there. We've gotten rid of a lot of stuff. Even since this video was shot, we've gotten rid of a ton of stuff. But as soon as I get it where I feel like, okay, it's safe enough for us to bring it through yet there, because I'm feeling like that it's probably about there, we're getting another truck this week. And so it fills it right back up. And so the things that we're wanting to do are going to help us with some of those things. And like I said, we'll show the rest of that video next week. But I also want, we are going to receive an offering next week to go towards the things that we want to do. The walls, to finishing up the pallet racking. We were able to purchase almost all the pallet racking we needed, except for one wall of it, for $150. It was a huge blessing. It was definitely a God thing, not anything that I did. But we have found the stuff that we wanted, taller racking for the sidewall, because the wall is taller. And so we found some, but it's going to cost money. And I've been talking to you about some of the things that we're wanting to do. And so next Sunday we're going to receive an offering for those things. We did get that grant. We aren't going to be able to use the grant for some of the things that we thought we were going to be able to use it for. When they sent me the restrictions on what we could use the grant for and what we couldn't use the grant for, I can't use the grant to put up a wall. I can't use the grant to buy pallet racking. I can't use the grant for concrete or any of those things. I can use the grant for certain things. And so, which is fine. That's great. We have money to do those certain things that we would have had to take from somewhere else. But we still need your help. And so next week, I just want you to pray about what God would have you to do. We need around $10,000 would get us pretty far down the road with this stuff, but $15,000 would get us all the way, okay? I'll just be real honest. So I want you to pray and ask God what he would have you to do. We're going to receive that next Sunday morning, so just keep that in mind. For several months, I've been really feeling like, and I told you this last week, that I've been really feeling like God is up to something, and there are things that I've been praying for years that I'm starting to see happen. And while I was praying about these things and just God was began to share with some things with me, the one thing that I just couldn't shake was that I was feeling like healings were going to begin to happen. And one of the reasons that I've been praying for healings every service, that God will begin to do healings in this place, there's a couple reasons. One, there was a prophecy that came out in this house that this would be a house of healing, a house of miracles. And so I've been praying and believing for that because God said it would, right? And so I've been praying and believing that God would begin to perform miracles and heal people in this place. And last week we looked at a healing that Jesus did in his ministry, and we're going to look at those for the next few weeks. But we looked at the one in Matthew chapter 8 where he healed a leper, and this week we're going to look at another healing that happened in Matthew chapter 8. And so if you have your Bibles, and it'll be on the screen, Matthew chapter 8 verse 5. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and is in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." This is also recorded in Luke chapter 7. In verse 1 it says, "When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. And when the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave." Now, it doesn't really matter if the centurion actually came himself or he sent someone in his place. This guy is coming to Jesus because of his servant. In this time period, though, servants or slaves were seen as expendable. There was no value, really, when they were looking at it. But Luke says that this guy was highly valued. In this culture, for a sick slave, it wouldn't have been considered worthless. But yet not to the centurion. He's saying he's highly valued. This Roman centurion deeply loved and valued this nameless servant that's very sick. That alone is surprising. A Roman military officer showing compassion for a lowly slave, this was unheard of. But love does that. Love doesn't care about categories. It doesn't care about your social class. It just moves to help. Matthew tells us the servant was paralyzed and in terrible pain. And Luke tells us that he was near death. And so this centurion had resources, influence, and status, but he couldn't fix what was going on. He had probably at this point brought in a doctor to look at this guy. They said, "There's nothing we can do." But he hears about Jesus, and he goes to ask for help. And Jesus doesn't overlook the suffering. He doesn't say, "You're a Gentile, I can't help you." He doesn't say, "You're a Roman soldier, take care of it yourself." He doesn't say, "Where is your servant if you're so worried about him?" When the request is made, Jesus immediately replies, I will come and heal him. This is shocking in itself. A Jewish rabbi offering to enter a Gentile's home, major cultural taboo, but we've already learned that Jesus doesn't care about what culture says when he touched the leper, right? He doesn't care what culture says. He was always shaking up the cultural norms. He was healing people on the Sabbath. Oh, you can't do that. He made mud on the Sabbath to heal some guy's eye. You can't make mud on the Sabbath. You can't do that. What are you doing? He's ready to heal you, though. His response reveals his heart. He's willing and ready to heal. He's ready to heal you this morning if you give him the opportunity to heal. He's ready. This week at camp, 11 people, students and leaders, were healed physically this week at camp. He's still healing people. Verse 8 says, but the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you even come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. But he says, Lord, I am not worthy to have you to come into my home. All you have to do is just say the word. Say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. The centurion believed Jesus' word. He believed Jesus' word alone had the power to heal. He believed sickness was something under Jesus' command, like soldiers under a general. He said, just say the word and it'll be done. His word has creative power, right? We learned that in Genesis. God said it and it was so. And John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and so the Word already existed, right? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. And we know that John was speaking of Jesus. He is and was the Word. Genesis 1:3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was his word that put things into place. It was by him speaking. He spoke, and it was done. Let there be light, and there was light. Divide the day from the night. He did all everything he spoke, it happened as he spoke it. And then not only that, not only the speaking of the words, but the scripture says that when he formed man, his breath breathed life into us. It wasn't just the spoken word. It was his breath that created life. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. It was his word. It was his word. What this healing shows, though, is that Jesus doesn't need proximity to heal. The last healing that he did, when he healed the leper, he touched the leper. It showed that he could heal in proximity with the touch. But this showed that this servant wasn't anywhere around. He didn't see the servant. He never saw the servant. All he did was speak the word, and it was done. He doesn't need to be next to you. He doesn't have to be right with you. All it has to do is be his word spoken that heals. You may feel far away from Jesus today, but his word can still reach you. Healing can happen in a moment from a distance by his word. Verse 10 says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Luke 7:9 says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd and followed him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He was amazed. It says he was amazed. There's only two recorded accounts, this account, and then there's one other account where it says that Jesus was amazed. And it was in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, And it says, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Only two times in all the Gospels where he says Jesus is amazed. And once was at unbelief and once was here. What a great faith. The fact that this is the two moments recorded as Jesus being amazed, I would say is pretty significant. I would say it's pretty significant that Jesus says, I'm amazed at this man's faith. This Gentile. This miracle was significant, not just for the healing, but what is revealed about Jesus. His authority. About the lack of need for proximity. For him to be able to speak things. It shows that the faith factor certainly plays into it. When it comes to healing or Jesus moving, the amazement of Jesus shows he was impressed with the amount of faith that this Gentile showed. So this isn't just some Jewish rabbi that has this faith. This isn't some boy who grew up as a Jew and learned the word. This is a Roman soldier. This is a Gentile. This is a guy who doesn't believe the way we believe, except for now he's saying he does, right? This guy's faith is big. He asked me to come, and when I said I will, he said, oh, wait, no, you don't have to come. You don't have to come to my house. You can just speak the word, and it'll be done. You can just speak it out, and it will be done. It'll be taken care of. All you have to do is speak. Verse 13 says, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. Because you believed, it has happened. And your young servant was healed the same hour. Luke chapter 9 said, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd and following me, said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. I like that Luke says he was completely healed. Matthew points out that he was healed. He was healed in that same hour. He was healed the moment that Jesus spoke. But Luke says it wasn't just that he was healed. He was completely healed. This goes beyond just his body. This goes beyond the paralysis. This goes beyond the fact that he was on his deathbed. When you get to that point in your life, when you're laying on your deathbed or you're paralyzed or you can't move or you can't do the things that you thought you could do, there's something else that happens. It's not just your physical body that suffers, it's your mind that begins to suffer. Because your mind starts by saying, I can't do it. I'll never be better. I have no hope. The doctors have said there's nothing more they can do. And so your mind starts, you start talking to yourself in your mind, right? And things in your mind begin to get warped, and you think there is no hope and there's no way that I can get any better. And if you're laying there and God comes by and heals you, he didn't just heal the man's body, he healed his mind. His mind was healed because now he has hope again. Because of a centurion's bold faith, his servant was healed. It was at that moment. It was at the moment that Jesus said he was. There was no delay. There was no process. There was no recovery period. The healing was totally immediate and undeniable. He didn't touch him. There was no physical presence. There was no elaborate ritual. There was no 10 people came and prayed on him. It was just a word from Jesus. And a dying servant is instantly healed. Nobody laid hands on him and prayed. Nobody anointed him with oil. Am I going to stop anointing people with oil? Absolutely not. Am I going to stop laying hands on people to pray for them? No, I'm not. If you don't want me to lay my hands on you, then you probably need to find another church. Because if you want to be prayed for, that's how I'm going to pray for you. But Jesus showed that it doesn't take all that. That tells me that when I'm all alone and there's no one else to pray for me and I need God's healing power, I can pray and ask and He'll do it. When Jesus speaks, it changes things. This guy was paralyzed on his deathbed with zero hope. But his master said, I heard about a guy that he's been healing people. And I believe that just his word can heal you. And I, even though you don't have hope, I have hope for you. Sometimes we think, we look at people who don't get healed and we say things like, they didn't have enough faith. But the scripture says that the people who anointed with oil, their prayer, their faith is what healed them. Not the sick person's faith. It was this man who went to Jesus with his faith and said, I am believing that he will be healed. We can stand in the gap for people. We can stand in the gap and believe that God is going to heal people. Matthew 8:10 says, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And in verse 13, he says, because you believed, it has happened. This healing didn't just reveal power, it showed faith. Jesus uses this miracle to show what the kingdom of God is really about. It wasn't about background. This guy was a slave. It's not about nationality. He was a Roman centurion slave, a Gentile. So that had nothing to do with it. That's not what the kingdom is about. It's about believing and it's about faith. It's about believing that he can do what he said he would do. It's about believing that he can do what we're asking him to do. It's about faith. Sometimes we try to make faith so super spiritual and so hard to obtain when faith is so sometimes so small. I have faith that when I walk into the sanctuary, I can hit the button and the light comes on. I have faith to believe that. I have faith to believe that when I open the refrigerator, the light is going to come on. So I can see what they've stacked on top of what. I have faith that when my alarm goes off, it's going to wake me up. I have faith that when I put the key in the car, that it's going to start. I have faith that when I walk outside, the sun is going to be shining. And I have faith to believe that the rain is not going to last forever. It's not something super hard. What is the most mundane thing that you do every day? That takes faith. Turn on the faucet, you expect water to come out. That's faith. It's faith. We make it way harder than it has to be. And the scripture says it was just a grain, the size of a mustard seed, just a the size of a mustard seed of faith can move mountains. Well, how does that happen? It starts with praying and believing that God will do what he said he would do. Little faith. Little faith. It doesn't take great big faith, because what happens is little faith turns into great big faith. Little faith's little, right? It's small. I got a little faith that God is going to do this. And then when he does, it grows our faith. And the reason that I tell you to share your testimonies and share what God is doing in your life, because it doesn't only build your faith, David. It builds the faith around you. And our faith grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then if we obtain great faith, which is a gift of the Spirit, by the way. Not just faith. Great faith. His word still heals people. His word still heals people. The centurion servant never saw Jesus. He never heard Jesus. He never touched Jesus. Yet he was healed by the word of Jesus. You don't have to feel Jesus to be healed by him. You don't have to have him physically present to experience his power. You only need to trust that his word is enough. There was 11 people that stood up that they were healed. There was 12 people that I believe were healed. But I didn't stand yet because I don't have the proof that I was healed. But I will have it next week. I'll have it next week. Because I know that I was healed. But I want the proof. And so I'm going back in for a scan next week, and I'm going to have the proof then that I was healed. God is able. God is able to heal you no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation or the circumstance is. And I'm not just talking about physical healings this morning. I'm talking about emotional healing. Some of you in this room are emotionally wounded, and you need God. And you've tried to heal yourself. You've tried to do it on your own. And that anger inside of you has not gone away. He can help you today. That feeling of abandonment, that feeling of hurt and pain that you've been feeling, God can help you with that. Maybe you're spiritually broken. He can heal that too. Maybe you're questioning if any of this is even real. Can answer that for you today. But you have to give him an opportunity. You have to give him an opportunity. I'll ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for healing. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that heals people, God. I thank you for the word that says, ask and it shall be given. And Lord, I'm believing that for healing today. That we're going to ask you to heal, and you're going to give those healings today. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that's doubting you today, Lord, I pray that they turn their faith on just a little. That they turn their faith on just a little. Lord, we just thank you today. Maybe you're in this place and you're not where you need to be with him. Maybe you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. You're not where you need to be with him today. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. You say, I want to get right. I want to help you. I want to walk with you. Maybe you say this morning, I've got a physical ailment. I've got something going on with me physically, and I need God to heal me. I don't care if you've prayed for it 1,000 times. You're battling with a physical ailment. I'm believing for healing today. I want to ask you to come. You've got a physical ailment, and you need healing. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe you've been emotionally wounded. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe it was something that happened years ago and you've been carrying around this baggage. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was someone else. But you say, I got some emotional baggage that I got some wounds and I need God to heal me. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. and you're just broken and you need God to help you, I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it this morning because of pride or what other people think. If you're afraid to walk alone, grab the person next to you and make them come with you. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded. Lord, I know that there are more that need to be here today. And God, I pray that you just begin to move and you begin to touch, God. You begin to heal. Maybe you need to stand in the gap and believe for someone else. I want to encourage you to move. Lord, we just thank you today. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.